What's up, Atlanta? It's a Thursday with Turtle on Sports Radio 92.9. The game with you for 2.5 with you until 8:30. Pre-game comes your way then for the Hawks, who are, and they're trying to make it 4 in a row. How about that? They're having one heck of a West Coast swing. It all started at home versus the Lakers, ironically, another West Coast team. They absolutely put the smackdown on Sacktown last night. I'm a poet, and I didn't even know it. How about that? That was a fun game. 130 points, only let up 100. Pretty good. Kristaps was in his bag a little bit last night. That was nice to see. Hawks are rolling, man. Hot take is off of that, of course. Well, now we see what it's going to be like if Trae Young is in here. No, it's not. No, it's not. You think if the Hawks traded Trae Young, they would keep the rest of the entire roster the same? No, you need another star. This is not how the Hawks would look. There would be so many. If the Hawks, let me just say this before we get to the Falcons. Don't let me get off on a tangent too far here. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle. The Hawks would look dramatically different if they traded or moved on from Trae Young. Don't get yourself fooled. It would not be Jalen Johnson and them boys, you know, and Nikhil Alexander Walker and them boys leading the charge. You'd have to get another star in there. You'd have to. That's the only way the team could function. You have no star power if you let go of Trae Young. They're doing it right now, but listen, Jalen Johnson's a good player. He's not a marquee. You don't show up to watch Jalen Johnson play. You show up to watch Trae because he's a highlight reel. But that's the Hawks. They'll get started at 8:30 tonight, pregame right here on 92.9 The Game. Two things with the Falcons. One, a clarification. Two, we'll get into our usual Falcons topic for the evening. You know the drill, Falcons fans. Let's go. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Just one guest tonight, Joe Patrick, in his usual spot at 640. The rest of the time, it's me and you. Because we were so busy talking about what Raheem said yesterday, I didn't get a chance to play what Zach Robinson said yesterday. And oh boy, hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. I'm actually more upset about this quote from Zach Robinson than I was about the confidence in Michael Penix Jr. from Raheem Morris yesterday, if that's even possible. Because, again, these coaches are just failing to meet the moment in the worst way possible. We talked about the HC last night. We'll talk about the OC tonight. And we talked about, of course, QB1 on Sunday and Monday. So everybody, Oren, everybody's getting the shrapnel this week. We had 2 days of QB1. We had a day of HC yesterday and a day of OC today, which we'll get to in just a second. But I just want to put this issue to bed. And it has nothing to do with me personally, but it's just an issue surrounding the Falcons, the internet, making sure you read and listen and attack things with a clear heart. What was the line from Friday Night Lights? Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. That's what you need to do when scouring the internet and reading narratives about the local teams. Michael Penix Jr. yesterday did not, N-O-T, throw his coaches under the bus. If that was your takeaway from his comments, you are severely, in my opinion, misreading the statement. Michael Penix Jr., in my opinion, was responding to a question from Allison Mastrangelo, our good friend. She comes on the show all the time, about his support network, not his coaches. She wanted to know about his support network. And he mentioned, you know, he always talks about his relationship with God and he always talks about his fiance. And those were the things that he falls back on and his coaches from when he was growing up. And that's fine. But to make the leap that because he didn't say Raheem and Zach, that he is not, what's the right word? Not relying, I guess is the word to use, on them as confidants. That to me is ignorant. Because, Oren, what it doesn't take into account is the fact that these guys are stuck to each other like glue at Flowery Branch all week long as they put together a game plan. Now, does that mean they're best friends? No, of course not. Maybe should there be a little bit more in-game conversation? I don't know. Is that the issue? And we all pretend, Orin, this is what gets me. We all pretend to be like armchair psychologists and know like, oh, well, you know, but Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid are always, okay, what does Josh Allen do? I don't know. Is Josh Allen always sitting there with his quarterback's coach and his offensive coordinator? Is Lamar? Don't pretend like you watch every game to sit and see who's on the sidelines talking to who. Everybody goes about it their own way. So to go out there and make that assumption is not fair. And I think this thing ran wild yesterday, and it was an absolute joke. I saw national talk show hosts all day today running with it. That is not in my opinion. Could I be wrong? Sure. This is my opinion. But in my opinion, Michael Penix Jr. in the back of his head is thinking, yeah, duh, I talk to my coaches every single day. I don't need to point that out. That's obvious, Jack. You don't think I have conversations with Raheem Morris every single day? You don't think I have conversations with Zach Robinson every single day? Of course, that's all they do. That's all. What do you think they're doing? Drinking juice boxes in the cafeteria together? Come on, man. To me, that's not what he meant. And my whole point about this is, before I get to my question of the night, if you want to call in on this, feel free, 404-726-0929. I don't think there's much to talk about. I just think that this is pretty black and white. I don't think it's what he meant. If you did, you could give me your take. Give me your side. We can always do that. But I do have a different direction I would like to take the conversation in as well at 404-726-0929. These guys spend all day and all night together. It's all they do. Again, does it mean they're best friends? No. Do some organizations do it better than others? Absolutely. There is a clear have and have not situation in the NFL. Kansas City, have. Carolina, have not. Philadelphia, have. Saints, have not. There's a clear delineation. And a lot of that has to do with what we've been talking about. Coaching, coaching, coaching. Coaching up your players. Now, with that said, that's just my opinion. Again, if you feel differently, let's talk about it. 404-726-0929. What I do want to talk to y'all about is what Zach Robinson had to say yesterday. Because if Zach Robinson in this cut acknowledges an issue, which he does, why through what 10 weeks have we not been able to make these adjustments? These are glaring, and this one thing in particular, glaring issue with Michael Penix Jr. right now. It's something that we've been talking about. And so Zach Robinson can acknowledge and say that it's something that they work on. So why is it not working, Zach? Or in Let's Play the Cut, on if quarterbacks with bigger arms tend to have sloppier footwork. Quarterbacks with bigger
arms. There's some guys that you can just get away with it, like you're saying, with a strong arm, especially throwing to your dominant hand side. You feel like, all right, I can make this throw. I can flick it out there. And that's definitely some emphasis that we have with all of our quarterbacks, doesn't matter who it is. And so getting your feet aligned to the throw, shoulder close to the target, some of the different coaching points that we always have is something that we coach up every QB that we have.
Zach. Hello? Hello? Why isn't it working? Why does he keep doing the same damn thing every single week, throwing flat-footed, throwing outside the pocket, and having to throw from sidearm angles, trying to be Pat Mahomes? Why? Why doesn't he sense free rushers coming from the weak side? Why? Why doesn't he sense rushers coming from the strong side? It happens on both. It happens on the weak side more, for sure. 404-726-0929. You just heard that from Zach Robinson. Okay, they acknowledge the issue, which is a miracle in and of itself, something Raheem Morris failed to do yesterday, and we talked about it all show long. I took your calls right up until I got off the air, and we're going to do it again tonight. But Zach Robinson yesterday, He actually acknowledges it. This is hysterical. He acknowledges the issue. Yeah, Penix's footwork, you know, when he tries to, you know, force it, natural athleticism, yada, yada, yada. We work on it with him all the time. Okay, why is it not working? Again, Michael Penix Jr. is not one of these diva quarterbacks who thinks he's holier than thou. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm giving Penix too much credit. I don't think so. I think Michael Penix Jr. wants to be great. And part of wanting to be great is accepting coaching. So, Zach, what's wrong with your coaching? That's what I don't understand. It continues to be a glaring issue that this offensive staff is failing the quarterback right now. We've been talking about it all week. Failing the quarterback, 12 for 28. Happy feet, moving all around the pocket, dancing, doing a shuffle. Why? Why are you not able to get him to understand that he needs to have a proper throwing motion, go through his progressions, and get the ball down the field? What messaging is not getting through, and why is that happening? So let's take your calls, 404-726-0929 when we get back. Again, I'm with you till 8:30. Phones are open all show long again tonight. Going to take as many of your calls as possible. If you do have a take on the Michael Penix comment, feel free to make it. Again, I just don't think there's really much to argue there. I think it's pretty black and white, but if you feel differently, go ahead. And then my main question of the night, you just heard that from Zach Robinson. What does that say to you about this coaching staff? If they can diagnose the issue, but they can't fix it, what is going on at Flowery Branch? We'll talk about it next. Chris Thomas tonight. Before we get to the busy, busy phones, once again, appreciate everybody who's hanging on. We'll get right to you. Just want to remind you on Chris Thomas tonight to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. And it's all brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons game this season on 92.9 The Game. And of course, yours truly is the host, and I'll be with you on Sunday after the Panthers game to take your calls like we are doing right now. If you'd like to weigh in on the Michael Penix Jr. answer gate or whatever you want to call it, feel free. I just don't think that there's much to discuss. If you do, I'm more than willing to have the conversation, but I also want to discuss tonight the comments of Zach Robinson that we heard. Again, just leaving me borderline speechless about this time you didn't scoot around the issue. You actually addressed the issue and admitted it could be an issue. So why isn't your coaching working? That's what I don't understand. Again, Michael Penix Jr., to me, is not a defiant quarterback. He's not going out there trying to. He's actually said on the record multiple times, you know, I don't freestyle out there. They put in the play and I run it. So he's not trying to be defiant. So clearly, whatever coaching he's being given, he's trying to listen to. But that soundbite, that tells on yourself. That tells me that whatever's going on at Flowery Branch, obviously, is not working. So what do you think? Joe starts us off. Joe, you're in the game.
Hey, good evening, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. My whole thing is it goes back to August and September when he's sitting on the bench for three preseason games, not getting out there. You know, I understand the concern about not wanting him to get injured, but if Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow is good enough to play in the preseason, shouldn't a rookie quarterback be getting some experience?
Yeah, Joe, that was exactly my point in the preseason. I was like, wait, you're telling me I'm watching Mahomes play for an entire half and our guy isn't going to play a snap and he's played three games in the NFL?
Right. I mean, I don't understand why, you know, he is this valuable to the franchise. He's got to have experience. And now we're seeing 11 games in, he's gun shy. He's scared. He's footloose. And I think that those practice rounds, yeah, it might not be against starters, but it's better than joint sessions when you're out there just playing patty cake all day.
Yeah. And Joe, thank you for the phone call. Good job leading us off tonight on 92.9 The Game. 404-726-0929. It's definitely a factor. You can't say that it's not. Look at the results, man. They've been awful. I mean, Penix, we all thought he was going to have his breakout year. He was going to establish himself as, you know, right up there with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels as one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. And now we look at him and he's regressing. And to Joe's point, I'm sure some preseason reps couldn't have hurt, right? 404-726-0929. Now, don't get me wrong. It's obviously not the main reason. We're 10 weeks into the season, but, you know, he certainly could have used the help. Let's put it that way. Alexander's up next. Go ahead. Alexander's up next. Go ahead.
Hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Hey,
go
you
ahead.
Hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, man. It's good to hear from you, man. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. It's coaching, man. If they can't understand that you have to any shape, form, or way lead this guy the best of your ability, in my opinion, and I'm going to be honest, I'm a native of Atlanta, but I'm a Panthers fan. So I would trade you Bryce Young for Michael Penix in a heartbeat. Considering even though he's having a down year, Michael Penix is throwing the ball, he's averaging 225 yards a game. Bryce Young, that's 184 yards. And we know that's the talent difference from that. What I would say to you is this. I know Atlanta is in a space where they need to win now and everything seems like it's falling apart. What I would say to y'all is, even though it sounds like a broken record, y'all just going to have patience with him. And yes, he's a big part of develop him as well. But your biggest issue, man, is you have a top three running back and y'all can't get him the ball in space to create enough offense for your defense to have enough energy for the game to impact the quarterback to win.
So let me ask you, why is that? What's the reason for that? To me, it's a simple answer. It's coaching.
Well, one is it's coaching, but your offensive line needs to be a little bit bigger. I invest in your offensive line. That's why Carolina bullies y'all so much, because their offensive line is bigger and it's better in the run game. But that's part of it, too. And also, I heard from Mike Bell. I don't know if it's Mike or it's on the other show. They said in Berlin, they were behind the bench. They're not communicating to him quick enough. He's asking them to get him to play faster. So it's an issue with communication. I don't know if that's Ra. I don't know if that's Zach.
That's Zach.
But they're not. He's like, giving me the play so I can execute.
Alexander, that's coaching. And I thank you for the phone call. I just got to let you run because we got a bunch of other people to get in. Thank you for the phone call. That's coaching. It's coaching. Can't get the play call in, coaching. Can't diagnose the defense, coaching. Can't get rid of your happy feet, coaching. Penix is not a seasoned, this is the most frustrating part. Penix is not a seasoned vet. He does not have all the answers. He needs help. The four-letter word, not that one. How many times can I say it this week? I guess at least one more. Because he needs help. The coaching is failing him. Zach Robinson, you heard the soundbite. Raheem Morris, you heard the soundbite. These guys do not have the answers to the problem. Apparently, according to Zach, they can certainly diagnose the issue. But where are the solutions, man? That's what we're talking about. To Alexander's point, okay, you have a smaller offensive line. So get them out in space. That's coaching, play calling. Use their athleticism to your advantage. Have the center and guards climb to the second level to help Bijan when he makes. Bijan does the same damn thing. He reads the zone, and then he either cuts it outside or he cuts it inside. And half the time now, the problem is when he cuts it inside, there's a 320-pound guy waiting to arm tackle him. That's because the offensive line is playing to a disadvantage, to Alexander's point. You need to coach and scheme with the guys that you got. Lindstrom's athletic. Bergeron's athletic. Jake is athletic. Use it to their advantage. They're not doing it. Derrick Brown is going to bull rush you. You know this. Double team him. Triple team him. I don't care. Do what you need to do to stop them. They are just absolutely terrible at making adjustments. This is another thing we've been echoing for time and memorial. Mike is up next. Mike.
For taking my call. I appreciate you taking my call tonight. Love the show. I think it's I know it's coaching. Coaching's awful, but I don't think coaching is going to make a difference to Penix. I'm going to take a bold statement here, man. I think Penix is a lazy dude, bro. I think he has no urgency. He has no instincts. When you watch him, he doesn't look like he's trying to get better. He doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. I'm not impressed with him at all. You said earlier in the call or in the show, He wants to be great. What in the world makes you think that guy wants to be great? He, you know, when he came here, he said that he wants to win at least 5 Super Bowls. He's not done one thing, not one thing, to show me that he wants to win 5 Super Bowls. And on top of that, he thought the Falcons had 1 to 2 Super Bowls. I'm a psychology major. That is a bad, bad sign, my friend. That is a guy that wants to get paid. He wants to everybody to think he's good, but he doesn't want to put in the work to be good. He's not smart enough. He doesn't have the mentality. That's how I feel, man.
I appreciate it, Mike, and thanks for the kind words. Dude, you cannot, I will not allow you to throw around those accusations like that. You don't know Michael Penix from a hole in the wall, Mike. You cannot come up here and sit here on this radio station with as big of a reach as it has and just make broad, sweeping accusations about Michael Penix Jr. Can't do it. Won't have it. Won't allow it. Sorry, Mike. You sound like a smart caller and a good fan, but if you're a psychology major, you should know that you can't diagnose people from afar. You know how arrogant that sounds? Yeah, I know. I'm a psychology major. I know. I can diagnose this guy like that from a mile away. No, you can't. You don't know him. You know nothing about him other than what you hear in press conferences. Neither do I, by the way. But I do know this. I've seen him lead. I've seen him at Flowery Branch. And that's not to brag. That's not I'm with 92.9. I get to go to Flowery Branch and see exclusive stuff. I know he's a leader. I know the guys follow him. I know the coaching staff loves him. And I know he's a smart guy. Having talked with him, been in the same room with him, hearing him speak. But I'm not going to sit out here and make sweeping judgments about his character. I don't know the guy, and neither do you. Mike, that's not fair to do. 404-726-0929. We'll take Scott before we catch a break. If you're on hold, stay there.
Look, can you hear me?
Gotcha, Scotty. Go ahead.
Okay. Look, this is just a discombobulated mess. We're a poverty franchise, and it's time that we realize this. Because, look, Arthur Blank went through a who's who list of candidates when he was deciding on the next head coach. He chose Raheem Morris. The first thing he should have asked them is, who are you going to be your coordinators? Why is it acceptable that we hire a head coach who says, I'm going to bring in a first-year head offensive coordinator to learn on the job? Why is that acceptable? Because I think it's because he said that we're going to get Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson will grow in the role and we'll have a veteran. But that thing all went to, you know, mess when what happened last year happened, and now we've got a first-year offensive coordinator – I'm sorry, in his second year, a first-time offensive coordinator in his second year. We've got a rookie who, this can't be said enough. He came from the air raid in Washington. Okay, now he's transitioning to an NFL-style offense. And attention to detail matters. So you can't just rely on his natural talent. And I think the problem is we're all asking, how are we going to fix this? They're asking, how are we going to fix this? They don't know how to fix this, because if they did, they would have already done it. They don't have the answers, but I'm afraid we're going to get a little fool's gold here. And as we play these mediocre to mid teams, we might win a couple and everyone's going to think there's a Band-Aid and it fixed the problem. It didn't fix the problem. Zach Robinson is completely clueless. Raheem has no comprehension of when to cut ties with him. And one thing that the last thing I'll say is Tom Brady hit the nail on the head, I think, when he gave his one of his speeches when he retired. He said, the truth is, you don't really have to be great athletically or physically. You have to be willing to put in the work. So the last caller's point, I think that one of the biggest problems right now is Michael Penix. He doesn't really know what's happening on the defensive side. He's not reading it like a seasoned veteran. And like to your point, that's an offensive coordinator's job and quarterback's coach to help him. But as he progresses and gets that right coaching, when we finally get in a good coordinator, he'll be able to do that. But right now he's struggling in that area too, and I don't think that can be overstated enough. So we've got to cut ties with Zach Robinson before this can get any better, and thank you.
Yes, Scott, appreciate you checking in as always. I agree. Unfortunately, Oren, I think if there's a new offensive coordinator next year, Penix is going to be a Pro Bowler. Like, that's what's going to happen. He's going to get proper coaching. He's going to be able to read defenses properly, fix his dang mechanics, which are all out of whack right now, which is where we started the show. And I think he's going to be great because we've seen it. He can be great. He is just all out of whack right now. And to me, that is coaching. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. You're up next. We'll also check in with Joe Patrick to get his take on all this. Taking your calls till 8:30. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, talking Falcons. Yes, if you know that music, you know what time of the week it is. Joe Patrick on Football is the name of the podcast, and he's also our Falcons insider. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm going to get to you right after we chat with Joe. Grab a line, 404-726-0929. Joe, man, let's start where the obvious conversation is right now, and that is with our quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. The hot takes, the rumors, the innuendo have been flying since the loss in Berlin on Sunday. Let's start on the field, though, before we get to all that nonsense. What did you see from him that got him so off base, so off rhythm that he was 12 for 28?
Yeah, you know, it's weird because he started that game all right. In fact, the first half, I thought he was pretty fine, pretty decent, and then it kind of fell apart as the game wore on there at the end. And to me, you know, I feel like a lot of the issues that he has had have stemmed from not really having, like, the really nice protection, like, frankly, that he had a lot in Washington. Remember, if you go back to some of the debates that were had about Michael Penix and, like, what he showed essentially, or especially in that college football playoff run, a lot of people noted that Michigan game that he played in the championship. You know, that was a game where he was pressured a lot. He had a lot of, you know, messy pockets, stuff in his face, and he was much more inaccurate than what he had shown leading up to that. And to me, that is kind of at the root of a lot of the issues. And it's not to take the blame away from Penix himself, because ultimately it's the NFL. You're going to get pressured. You have to be able to deal with all this stuff kind of flying in your face and be able to make space for yourself in terms of climbing the pocket, doing those kinds of things. And you can just see that he's uncomfortable with some of that stuff. But I do feel like it tends to throw him kind of out of a rhythm, or defensive coordinators kind of understand how to kind of continue to keep him uncomfortable. And that gets him in these positions where he starts to make these really inaccurate throws, maybe isn't making the reads and going through his progressions quite like he should. And things just get rattled. And the unfortunate part for him and for Falcons fans and for this offense is that defensive coordinators are going to continue, now that they've found that this kind of thing works, to pressure him, just like I think defensive coordinators found out last year that, okay, we need to just start blitzing the heck out of Kirk Cousins because he can't move. Until the Falcons show that they can beat that and counter it themselves effectively, they're going to continue to get that. So the Falcons are going to have to, and Michael Penix are going to have to improve.
All right. Now to the off the field stuff, the rhetoric and the drama about the coaching staff and his relationships and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, Joe, when you're 3-6, all of that stuff gets magnified. But I think the thing that people are most failing to understand is that these guys at Flowery Branch are stuck to each other like glue for hours and hours and hours a day, every single week, with one goal in mind, trying to get better. Now, have they gotten better? No. But I think what gets lost in translation is that's what they're there to do. They're not there to cause division. They're not there to cause rivalries or subgroups at Flowery Branch. Everybody's working towards one goal. And when you're 3-6 again, Joe, unfortunately, and the quarterback looks the way that he does, all of these sorts of innuendos and the online memes and the people in the comments section get a lot louder.
Totally, totally. I was thinking that exact same thing, Chris, where it's like you could take this exact clip that, you know, is kind of started making the rounds and got everybody in a tizzy. And that clip, that same exact clip, nobody takes it the way that they've taken it. If you're right, if the team has a better record, if Penix is maybe even looking a little bit better, but certainly, like, if the season isn't kind of going the way it is for the Falcons right now, nobody's saying anything about this. And you're also right. I want to reemphasize the fact that, you know, these guys, they show up at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., something like that, and don't leave until five or six. Like, they're working a full work day. It's not like they just show up for practice and kind of go through their drills and then they're out of there. They're having multiple meals together every single day, multiple meetings. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion that, like, that you're getting help and, like, that you're getting coached from your coaches. Like, that is obviously happening, and that's the context of that answer that he gave, was he was kind of referring to people that were outside of the building. And that wasn't necessarily maybe super clear in the way that it was clipped with the question that was asked, but that is clearly what he was talking about. And I'll give you the straight dope here, Chris, which is that, like, we went up to him in the locker room later, after none of us, like, I didn't even realize that there was controversy happening online around this quote after it happened, because it was so mundane. And then, but it was, like, it was starting to get on some websites and things. And then we go into the locker room and we kind of addressed, you know, went up to Penix a little bit, just like informally, and just kind of like showed him like what was happening. And he kind of shook his head and gave it the side eye, like, oh my gosh, like, this is ridiculous. And so that's the way that he kind of responded to that. And, like, he didn't even want to say anything more about it, just to, like, kind of feed into it at all. But just craziness. And that's, again, like, you're totally right. That's just the kind of thing that happens when the team is struggling and people, fans, are looking for answers as to why things have ended up in the state that they're in right now.
Yeah, I'm seeing all over Nash, and, like, people and programs that I respect covering sports media, just like, oh, how could they do this to Michael Penix Jr.? I'm like, what do you think? They lock him in a closet all day and make him study the playbook by himself? Like, he obviously knows when he's asked that question that he is working with his coaches all day and all night, every single day. And he was hoping that you understood that too when he answered the question.
And let me add, in regards to, like, Raheem Morris as well, like, he was being criticized for this. And, like, Michael Penix earlier in that press conference talked, like, in depth about this long conversation that he had had with Raheem since the Berlin game that had really helped him kind of, like, get a better grasp on just, like, everything, where he was at basically emotionally and all that after that game. So, yeah, like, he's obviously getting help from his coaches and teammates if they need it. And, by the way, you know, like, Kirk Cousins is another figure that people have said, like, well, why isn't he helping? And, like he is, I believe, you know, assisting Michael Penix just as the backup quarterback does in preparing for games. And he has said, and I think it's the right thing, by the way, from Kirk Cousins to say, like, I'm not going to be in his ear on the sidelines, like, during a game. Like, he doesn't need, like, people just, like, swarming him and trying to constantly, like, force feed him information. If he comes to me, I'll obviously, like, you know, be happy to, you know, talk him through whatever questions he has, but I'm going to let him do his work as the starting quarterback, and I think that's fully appropriate.
All right, so I don't know if this question is even answerable, but I have to ask it, Joe, just to the best of your knowledge. What happened to this wide receiver room, man? Like, okay, if they knew it was going to be this way, they knew Ray Ray wasn't going to be here, they knew Darnell Mooney was a lot more injured and a lot further back than we all thought he was, why would you not address that at the trade deadline?
It is a great question. Not even at the trade deadline, Chris. I would say, like, going back, like, when Darnell Mooney suffers that injury, and they clearly knew that he had broken his collarbone at the time, as Raheem Morris revealed to Dukes and Bell on the air yesterday. And so, like, if they knew that and they know what the recovery looks like for a broken collarbone, I assume, you know, after what happened with Kirk Cousins last year and that whole injury situation, I never want to assume anything, but you would think that, you know, they would have been, you know, I don't know, worried is the right word, but just, like, you know, looking for more help. And they did bring in, like, you know, DJ Chark, and he didn't really do anything in training camp. And maybe at that point they felt like Casey Washington could give them enough. And maybe I would certainly think that at this point in time, they would have thought that Mooney kind of would have been back on track a little bit more at this point, that he clearly hasn't. So, you know, maybe they just misread the situation in that respect. And then the other thing with Ray Ray McLeod is that's a whole nother kind of mystery. And I feel like, you know, I just personally feel like we have not really gotten the full story there, because we heard that Ike Hilliard's firing was performance based. And then I forget the exact reason that was ultimately given for why the team cut bait with Ray McLeod, who was a really important player for this team, by the way, last year. But, you know, I'm just like reconsidering it after something that Raheem Morris said in his press conference yesterday. And he was like half joking, but he was being honest, I think, when he said, like, it depends on how much honesty I give you guys, or like how much truth I'm going to give you on a given day or something, basically like admitting that he like doesn't tell the full truth to the media. And I don't expect like the coach to just, you know, divulge like exactly what's happening behind closed doors to the media. You know, like I understand it's their job to kind of obfuscate some of that stuff, but I just don't understand what the upside was for them in concealing some of these things, whether that is the true nature of Darnell Mooney's injury, as we, you know, have finally had revealed to us, or whether it was like whatever happened with Ray McLeod. Because it certainly feels like the team could use Ray at this time if they were dealing with that stuff that, or, you know, the setback that Darnell Mooney is going through.
Well, not to pile on, but if Kirk Cousins didn't open up his big fat yapper, they would have gotten away with the illegal communication as well that he had with the team doctors before all this mess even started at the beginning of last season. All right, before I let you go, we have this conversation every week, but Joe, if they do not win on Sunday, I feel like actually this time, I know it's not going to be mathematically, but if they don't win on Sunday, it just feels like it's over.
Yeah. And it's been like, you know, Arthur Smith got better results with a lot less to work with, I'll say. And I'm not trying to like kind of go back and relitigating all that, but like, you know, this has been a failure. Like last year, it was a failure for the team to not even have a winning record, let alone making the playoffs, which we knew has been their goal since Arthur Smith's last year. And this year is even worse, obviously, with your records where it stands right now. And ultimately, this team is 5-12 since they sat at 6-3 last year. We're one full year through that experience, and that is not where you want to be. I don't know any other way to describe it, but that's obviously well below what the expectation would have been for this Raheem Morris tenure. And that's why I think every fan is right to wonder whether, you know, if any given loss is going to be the last time that they see Raheem Morris, because, you know, this is clearly not the standard that the organization has. And they've proven it in the past that they will fire coaches when they're not performing up to that standard. So we'll see. And I certainly, you know, there's no reason to like be hoping that they lose to tank to like see guys fired or anything, because it's not like they even have a first round pick, you know, and obviously, your record's going to affect all your picks, but this team should be going for it. You want Michael Penix, especially, to have good experiences and positive, be able to like build on something. But, I don't know how much you can really expect that to happen at this point, given what we've seen from this team the last few weeks. And even if they do win, Chris, it's like you can't really just expect them to like take, if they have a really solid win, which I'm hoping they do, frankly, against the Carolina Panthers. You can't really, just based on this team's track record, you can't say like, oh, well, they're going to be able to build off that win and take it into the next week, because they have not shown that consistency to do that week in, week out.
Joe, real quick before I let you go, I did want to hit on two major pieces of soccer news that came out today. The changing of the MLS schedule and the release of the paywall for MLS.
Huge. I mean, the league needs to grow. You know, it's like you hear this like growth versus profit kind of debate that happens with certain like media entities or whatever. It's like when you're going to kind of like paywall something, you're going for the profit, or when you're trying to grow something, you just put it out there for free. And clearly this league needs to be putting their product out there. So great move to pull that paywall off of Apple. And now if you have Apple TV, and all MLS season ticket holders will get access to Apple TV for free. So you get everything on Apple TV if they weren't already paying for it. So that's great news. I think the bigger thing is the schedule. I mean, like this league had a hard cap on it with their current schedule when their playoff and the key portion of their season was running into football season, where that just soaks up all the attention in this country. And I think, you know, rightfully so. So moving, just getting that turned around, being able to play your championship game and your playoffs in like the nice springtime weather when, you know, people are getting out of that dreary coldness. I think it's going to ultimately be just great for this league, and it gives them an opportunity to achieve new heights that I think were never possible under the old model.
Joe, great stuff. We'll check out Joe Patrick on football. We'll be talking to you soon next week, hopefully for not the fifth straight week in a row about a loss, but this time about a win.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. Thanks for having me on, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. All right, when we get back to the phones, 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. You get to be first up as a thank you for hanging on. And if you're not, grab a line, 404-726-0929. You heard Joe's take on it. You heard my take on it. What's your take on it? Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris, Michael Penix Jr., it's all kind of a mess right now. The Pro 60929, Zach Robinson saying, yeah, we get the problem. Michael Penix's footwork, he's got a huge arm, and he can try to do too much at times. Okay, Zach, why are you not fixing this issue? Sir, we spent a lot of time talking about what Raheem had to say yesterday to Dukes and Bell, what Michael Penix had to say to the media. It's all a giant mess right now. So what do you think? 404-726-0929. James starts us off. James, go ahead.
Appreciate the call. Look, man, how can a first-year offensive coordinator fix a first-year quarterback? Neither one of them ever seen half of the defenses in the league. I can see if somebody said, hey, look, he's been in there at least 3 or 4 years, and he can say, look, when we used to run into this problem, we'll fix it like doing it like this. And then you can fix it. But he can't fix nothing if he never seen them before himself. And you know, I'm from Florida. When Raheem was in Tampa Bay, man, he was terrible. His records was 17-31. I don't know what Arthur Blank was thinking about when they hired him. He should have just stayed a coordinator, not a head coach.
Well, James, too, and thank you for the phone call. To be fair, Raheem had grown a lot since then. Raheem was, what, like 33 when he got that job in Tampa? That's how old I am right now. Oren, can you imagine me? Chris Thomas, Turtle, the NFL head coach. No, I'd be pooping my pants.
That'd be a fun way to start one of your press conferences out, coming in like that.
Like, hey, Chris Thomas, Turtle here. What do you got? Well, Turtle, your team lost 56-3. Yeah, because I'm 33 years old and I don't know how to be a freaking head coach. Sean McVay is one of a kind, man. That's James, that you got to be fair in the assessment, right? The criticism right now for Raheem is warranted, but, you know, he built that record up over time. He was 33 when he got his first job. He was a little bit older when he was the interim head coach here. And then he went, and to be fair, he won a Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator in L.A. And he thought incorrectly that, hey, there's this guy on my staff, Zach Robinson, on the offensive side. He looks pretty good. Let me give him a shot. And he was wrong. Boy, was he wrong. 404-726-0929. Our buddy Swede checks in. Swede.
How are you doing? I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for the time. I'll try to keep it really simple. I think the change needs to be made. It's coaching down the line from the head coach down to all the coordinators. They need a complete change. That's the first thing I have to say. And the second thing, in anticipation of Thanksgiving, is I have a case of cranberry sauce headed your way.
Oh,
love your show, Chris,
thank
buddy.
Thank you, Sweet. Appreciate it. What a callback there. Wow. What a callback from our buddy Swede, man. Yeah, I hate cranberry sauce, and Swede knows it. And he's sending one. Send it to Colony Square, Swede. I'll eat it this year just for you. Yeah, and listen. Right now, this coaching staff is not doing them any favors, Swede. They're not doing themselves any favors. So, again, I've been saying this all week. That's not going to be an issue if they keep losing. If they start winning and it's on the borderline, then we're going to have a very tough conversation, Swede, about who stays and who goes. But if it keeps going like this, the book writes itself. Anthony's up next. Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle. Big O, this is Anthony, Bengals fan here. But I just want to say two things. First, I said this 5 years ago, that Arthur Blank needs to get rid of or change everybody between him and the starting quarterback, who was Matt Ryan at the time. But to the point of today, my thing is, why is Zach Robinson not going to Michael Penix on the sideline and sitting down and saying, hey, what are you seeing? What can we do better? What works for you in game so that it's real time to help a young quarterback and a young OC get together and get on the same page? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I don't know. there could be a lot of reasons why. Maybe Michael Penix has gone to Zach Robinson and said, hey, man, on game day, let's just keep it a buck. Let's just keep it straight. I do my thing. You do your thing. That's how I operate best. Maybe Zach Robinson went to Michael Penix and said, hey, on game day, let me do my thing. Let you do your thing. That's how I operate best. I don't know. We'll never know. They could ask. I mean, maybe one of our guys will ask. Maybe Joe Patrick will ask. But to your point, Anthony, I don't think we'll ever know. Maybe we'll start to see that. Maybe, you know, they were trying a certain approach, rode with it for a while, realized it's not working, and now maybe they will do that. Another reason could be clutter, as another caller mentioned before. It's a good point. Like, sometimes quarterbacks just need to be focused, and if, you know, if they're trying to stick a Microsoft Surface tablet in their face, maybe they don't respond well to that. But again, we'll never know unless they volunteer that information to us, and I don't think that's something that they would. I think if there's a reason for it, I think it's established behind closed doors. If there's not a reason for it, if they're just not doing it, I don't know what to tell you. Just add it to the list of reasons why this offense is completely dysfunctional right now. DJ is up next. DJ.
Oh, what's going on, brother? How you doing, Turtle?
I'm great. What's up, man?
Hey, man. Well, first of all, don't underestimate the power of missing Divine Diablo in the middle of that defense. For four games that we've lost four games straight, the guy with the dunce hat on in the middle of the field shows that he does not know what he's doing in the middle field. J.D. Bertrand should not even be on an NFL team, and this coaching staff hasn't figured that out yet. And watch what happens on Sunday. He's going to be out there and give up a big play again. We see that. But on the other side of the ball, look at our Super Bowl year when Dan Quinn was our coach. He knew how to put great coaches around him. Kyle Shanahan was our coach. This team is literally failing because of Raheem Morris. You said Raheem Morris has grown. I can't see it. Last year, he picked a rookie defensive coordinator, and last year, Zach was a rookie coordinator. So this team just really needs coaching. We have all the elements of great players on this team. Raheem Morris has had a big fail, and my question to you, Turtle, is you're Arthur Blank. You pull the trigger. What coach do you go after next year?
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. My number one guy, it's not the sexiest option in the world, but my number one guy is Mike McCarthy, if he still wants to coach. That dude just wins. I know he had Aaron Rodgers, and that's why he won the Super Bowl. But, guys, he wins games. Like, this team just needs to win. Win and make the playoffs. He's also a no BS, no nonsense type of guy. He's going to come in. He's going to run his program. Players are going to respect him because he has a ring. And that's going to be that. That's what this team needs right now. I don't need another brash, you know, loud-talking, hotshot head coach. We have one right now. It's not working. So I want the opposite of that. I want low-profile, steady, veteran, winner. And that's, it's again, it's not a sexy hire by any stretch of the imagination, but that type of guy is the guy that I'd want. And then you bring in a Mike McDaniel, Brian Daboll, if he's interested. There's a lot of young guys out there that are coaching for, you know, essentially their second act, and maybe they can have it here in Atlanta as an offensive coordinator. And I would keep Ulbrich. I think he's done a good job, but I think he's shown enough. Marquise Williams, I would not. The special teams is something that absolutely needs to be addressed in the offseason. Let's go to Tony's up next. Tony.
Hey, what's up, Toto? I listen to the show every night. You do a good job.
Thank you.
Real quick, I don't really want to hear anything else coming out of Flowery Branch. Just show me what you can do. Show me the improvements. Because for the last month, I've been hearing them talking about how they're going to fix this and fix that, and we're looking at the same train wreck. So I don't want to hear that. Now, if anybody is going to be fired, of course, everybody, we all agree that it should be Zach Robinson. But if we could bring in Mike McDaniel, just leave everything else intact, bring in Mike McDaniel, I think that would bring a huge improvement to the offense.
No, I don't. And again, I think that's certainly possible. Appreciate the phone call. If you missed it, D-Led was on with me last night, and he said there's definitely a path that even if they don't make the playoffs, that Raheem and even Terry Fontenot could be back next year. I find that hard to believe. I guess it just depends on what it looks like. But again, according to D-Led, who's, you know, the main Falcons reporter, it's certainly on the table. So you could be right. I don't think Raheem has done anything to earn another shot, but I could see Arthur Blank, just for the sake of not having to hire another head coach, maybe going down that path. Again, Brian Daboll, Mike McDaniel, these are guys that you could try to bring in as your offensive coordinator to help steady the ship and get Michael Penix Jr. turned back around. So it's definitely, Tony, not out of the realm of possibility. I wouldn't want that. If you're going to make change, just make the whole change, but it's certainly on the table. Let's see what Josh has to think. He's up next. Josh.
Hey, what's up, Turtle?
Yo.
Hey, real quick, as far as this the coordinator, you know, the comment or whatever, I know a caller called in earlier and asked, how could you, you know, come to the team with first-year coordinators and blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't think that the people that he really wanted to hire were available. Like, for instance, if Jeff Ulbrich was available when he first got hired, I believe he would have brought him on, you know, that year. But he was the interim head coach in New York, blah, blah, blah. As far as Zach is concerned, I don't think an offensive coordinator that he has rapport with was available, such as Mike McDaniel. Of course, Kyle Shanahan already has a job. You know, that whole thing. So I think that he basically had to bring what he, you know, what he could get. And to your point about him being able to come back, he did show that, you know, he realized he made a bad hire in Jimmy Lake, so he fired him, brought in Ulbrich, and he may get the opportunity to do the same thing, you know, bringing in somebody else that he has rapport with if Mike McDaniel does get fired in Miami, you know, like that whole thing, being able to course correct, you know, once you realize that you know you've made a mistake. So that's just how I feel about the hires.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. Maybe, again, to the past two callers, I have the same thing to say to both of them, and it's one word. Maybe. If the season goes a certain way, yes. Could I see that happening? Yeah, I could. But if the season continues down the path in which it's going right now and you lose the majority of the games and it looks ugly and there's another blowout in there, how? How can you do it? I just don't think you can. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. 404-726-0929. More of your calls when we get back. What do you feel about all this? If you miss it, I'll let you hear what Zach Robinson had to say that's driving me up the wall about fixing Michael Penix Jr. All of it. Coach, QB1, OC, it's all on the table on Chris Thomas Tonight. Back with you here on 92.9 The Game. We're taking your calls at 404-726-0929. These coordinators and coaches, man, it has not been a banner week at the podium, in my opinion, from Flowery Branch. A lot more questions than answers. We had the whole controversy with Michael Penix Jr. and his quote that was obviously taken out of context, that went viral for all the wrong reasons. We had Raheem Morris and what he said yesterday about the confidence of Michael Penix Jr. and just completely failing to acknowledge the issue and not giving the fan base any hope that the offensive staff knows what's going on and has a plan to fix it. And then today, if you didn't hear it earlier, this was the cut from Zach Robinson about acknowledging a clear error going on with Michael Penix Jr. Shut up. That was a clear error going on from Zach Robinson. Why can't you fix it, Zach?
There's some guys that you can just get away with it, like you're saying, with a strong arm, especially throwing to your dominant hand side. You feel like, all right, I can make this throw. I can flick it out there. And that's definitely some emphasis that we have with all of our quarterbacks, doesn't matter who it is. And so getting your feet aligned to the throw, shoulder close to the target, some of the different coaching points that we always have is something that we coach up every QB that we have.
Okay, so why hasn't it been fixed? What's going on? Where is the disconnect? These are the things that us Falcons fans are dying to hear. Solutions, please. Don't explain it to me like I'm five. Give me an explanation that makes sense. Why is it happening? How are we going to fix it? I cannot understand for the life of me what the plan is from these coaches over the last couple of days that have met the media. It doesn't make any sense to me. Where are the solutions? If I'm a Falcons fan, I'm just raging right now because I'm not hearing anything I need to hear from this coaching staff. Ken starts us off. Ken, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, man. And the thing about that, Turtle, you're not going to hear any solutions with this coaching staff because guess what, Turtle? They don't have any. They don't have any. This dude, Zach Robinson, is in so far in over his head, it's not funny. He's no different than Jimmy Lake. Zero different. Maybe worse with all that offensive talent on that side of the ball. And if I hear one more time, like that interview you did with D-Led yesterday, about they may bring them two back next season, I'm boycotting the Falcons, man. I don't want no part of that. If they got an owner who can't see far enough to know that we cannot start 2026 the way that season ended, the way 2025 ended, if he can't see that he needs to make major changes, then I'm done with the whole franchise, Turtle. I'm just done with it, man. But you were talking about yesterday. I listened to your show, and you were talking about Raheem. You were disappointed in some of the things that he was saying.
Yeah.
And I, Turtle, I'm like this. I don't even fault Raheem anymore at this point. It's not his fault. It's really not. It's not his fault. He don't know any better. Raheem knows he's not cut out for the job. He's not. That's you know he's not a head coach. That's your owner. And unfortunately, you know, you guys keep saying that he's no longer part of the Falcons, but I totally disagree. And you know who I'm talking about.
I know.
That's those two people's fault for hiring this guy. He probably went in there with a Super Bowl ring on his finger and say, you want one of these? And just blew him away in the interview. Come on, man. Dude is clueless. So if they bring that trash back, man, I'm done with him, Turtle.
No, Ken, I appreciate it, man. That was funny. It's like, he's essentially saying, like, Raheem is like he's like the puppy that chews the pillow. And, like, what are you supposed to do? You're going to yell at him? No, he's a puppy. He doesn't know any better. No, he's a coordinator. Or it's like, no, he's a coordinator, not a head coach. He doesn't know any better. He's a defensive coordinator, a Super Bowl winning one at that, but masquerading as a head coach. So he doesn't know any better. That was funny. He's like the little puppy that you get. You bring him home. He's all cute. He's got the big eyes and the bushy tail. Next thing you know, your $400 throw blanket that you have on your couch is in shambles. But it's not his fault. He doesn't know any better. Raheem is a defensive coordinator that could win you a Super Bowl, but he's not a head coach. He doesn't know any better. That was funny stuff from Ken. Another Ken on hold. What's up, Ken? Ken number two. Hello, sir. Going once, going twice. That's okay. 404-726-0929. Let's see what Mark is thinking. Mark, you're in the game.
Good evening. How are you?
What's up, Mark?
Total lack of leadership. It's been proven for 40 years, whether it's the prior regime or current regime. You don't have a head coach. You have Rich McKay, fingers all over everything, and until he goes and Arthur can make that decision, you're not going to get anybody like a Vrabel, like a Belichick, like anybody that wants control. They're not going to deal with this. Okay, you have there's no leadership. The team, based upon the conversations and the press conferences, no one should answer questions that way. They should be managed and they should have direction from the team. It's, you know, Nick Sirianni would not take this job. I mean, he'd eat these guys for lunch. And until they decide that they want to have somebody like that, give him complete control, hire and fire everybody, you know, you're just going to have a mishmash of stuff. And it's sad and it's disappointing, but it's not surprising. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. Listen, you can be a player's coach and win, but what you can't do is be a player's coach and miss on your coordinators. Because if you're a player's coach, the responsibilities of your coordinators are heightened because of your lack of, like our caller was saying, you know, Bill Belichick, military, you know, school. Not that that needs to be that extreme either, but when the head coach has his fingerprints over every single little thing, it's able to take some of the stress off the coordinators because it's more of a collaborative effort. And no, not the way the Falcons describe a collaborative effort. A head coach like Raheem relies heavily on his coordinators to get things right. That's why you see Raheem not as engaged on game day, and that's why he drives some of us Falcons fans up the wall. But you know why he's like that? You know why he's usually standing by himself and diagnosing everything? Because he's a player's coach, and that's what they do. They let their OC and their DC run the show. Unless Raheem sees something that he absolutely hates, he's going to let Zach and he's going to let Jeff run the show because that's part of the gig and that's part of the player's coach mantra. So I get why he does it, but when you're 3-6, dang it, it looks awful. And that's why people mock him about looking up at the Halo board and sometimes the way his outfits are, and those things all look awful when you're a player's coach who's inactive on the sideline and a player's coach that looks like he hired the wrong coordinators. 404-726-0929. It's unfortunate, but it's true. That's the way it is right now. He's 3-6. He has a bad record as the Falcons head coach, and he's a player's coach on top of it. So you don't hear the strict, the stringent, the answers that we feel like this team needs right now. To Mark's point, appreciate Mark checking in. Let's see what Paul has to say. Paul. Oh, let's see what David has to say. David. I got you,
hey, David.
Go ahead.
Here.
Yep.
Turl, glad to talk to you. I'm much more of a supporter of Raheem. He's a young coach. He's chosen coordinators poorly in some sense, and yet he's given you sound arguments that you seem to just completely be on the pitchfork and bonfire against.
Let me ask you this. What has he done that's good? What has he done that's good?
Turl, on Sunday I heard you tell the viewers that Carolina had a bye. They were playing. They were losing. Everybody's human. You too, Turl. Ra is human. He's learning. He's working. He's got a bad record. He's a rookie. He's a young coach. He's chosen well now with Ulbrich on the defense. Arthur's wise to give him another year. Arthur's wise to understand that while we have complexity of problems with a young quarterback and a young coordinator, fact is these conversations should have been happening a year or so ago.
Okay,
hang on,
I'll let you finish. Does the playoff drought mean nothing to you?
First-year coordinator with a first-year quarterback.
Does the playoff drought mean nothing to you?
All of it means everything.
Okay, but that's where the sense of urgency comes from. That's where the sense of urgency comes from. That's why there is no time. There is no another year. There is no tomorrow. That's my whole point. I'm not saying he needs to be, and I appreciate the call. I can't just let you drone on and on about something that isn't true. Raheem Morris does not deserve any benefit of the doubt. Everybody knew the deal going into this season. And listen, I am far from perfect. I'm sure that's not the only mistake. I'm sure I've made a mistake tonight. But that is not relevant in any way, shape, or form. Raheem Morris is not required to be perfect. Who said that? Who said be perfect? Nobody had you had the Falcons being 9-0 right now? No. Nobody did. Perfect. I mean, wow. Oren, that might be the single most disagreeable phone call I've ever had in my entire life. Not in terms of escalation, because I've straight up yelled at people. My bad. But in terms of like how strongly I disagree with what somebody thinks about the situation. 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. I see Wally, Ken, Mark, you guys are going to be up next as soon as we get back. 404-726-0929. David, man. I mean, you are just so off. I don't know how else to put it. You just missed the mark, my friend. The playoff expectations, 7 years without it, Penix coming into his own, Raheem Morris learning from his mistakes last year. the draft picks coming into fruition, those were all supposed to be the things that were promised to us this year. None of them have come true, except for some of the draft picks hitting. None of it. This team is 3-6, David. Come on, man. I get it if this was the Saints and Kellen Moore in his first year. It's not. This team has expectations, and you just can't pretend that that doesn't exist. Sorry. Back with more of your calls. Going to get right back to your Falcons calls, 404-726-0929. Oren and I just did a little fun baseball sort of rabbit hole trivia in the commercial break because Shohei Ohtani just won his fourth MVP. Wow. And this time one in the AL and three with the Dodgers. Or two and two. I don't know. I'm getting confused. I've seen... 3-1. Okay, because this Yahoo Sports graphic has two with the Angels and two with the Dodgers, but 2-2. Okay, so we got that figured out. Not relevant. What is relevant is that he's the only player to join who on this list of four-time MVPs? Anybody? Bueller? We looked it up in the break. Oh, it is Barry Bonds. Also, back-to-back NL MVPs. Pretty dang impressive. There's a couple of people who've got three. He's the only one who has four, along with Barry Bonds. That's it. There's your list. And then we started thinking, like, how many did Hank have? Hank only had one. He also only had one season with over 40 home runs. How many did Willie Mays have? He only had two. An interesting fact, Oren and I found out they were over a decade apart. How about that? So we were just doing some fun MLB trivia in the break with Shohei Ohtani winning his fourth MVP award.
It took an Aaron Judge 62-homer season to get in between to break up that streak of Shohei Ohtani MVPs.
Wow, that's incredible. And Aaron Judge is, I guess that's the last one to come out, right? Is it going to be Cal Raleigh of the Mariners, or is it going to be Judge? We'll find out. Judge, that would be his third. Yeah, that would be Judge's third, so he's right there too. 404-726-0929. Ken leads us off. Ken.
Hey, I got you this time, Turtle.
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
So what I would not take on anybody's station is any Arthur Blank slander. I am born and raised in Atlanta, mid-40s. I remember having an owner that did not care about the team and didn't care about the fan experience and all that. The NFL is the hardest sport to win at. And I think that every hire that he has made has been an attempt to winning. In my lifetime, we've had two Super Bowl appearances. The first time we got blown out, the second time we should have won. And that team was constructed by a GM that Arthur Blank hired. Before Dan Quinn got there, Mike Smith was a solid hire. We fell apart with the team that was on there, and it just happens like that. Now, mind you, I'm not making excuses, but the likelihood of getting a better owner than Arthur Blank is very slim to none.
No, hang on, Ken. I agree with everything you're saying, but why? What does Arthur Blank have to do with what we're talking about right now in terms of where the team is?
The coaching? Yeah, so because everybody wants to say that you start at the top, and I'm in management, and I definitely feel that way. I feel that when we hired Raheem, everybody who had a voice said that, oh, my God, this is a great hire. He's going to be great for developing. We heard that from Tony Dungy. We heard that from all these people. And unfortunately, those chickens have not come home to roost. I am very disappointed with Raheem. And it's one thing to be so inept what it looks like, because I still think I'm a novice when it comes to football, because I don't spend hours grading tape, don't have the ability to do it, don't have the time to do it. But a person who does have the ability of doing it makes just such horrible decisions. And then to be very patronizing and very facetious to the fan base on Dukes and Bell. And I love listening to Dukes and Bell so I can hear it, But every time it just makes my stomach turn from the division that he constantly will. Like he's
no,
told my
and you,
that's
Ken,
why you're not
you,
a coach.
Ken, you're it's right, disgusting. And I agree 100%. I mentioned that yesterday. I don't know if you caught the show or not, but we spent a lot of time talking about that. Raheem Morris made a conscious decision here in Atlanta, which I don't understand for the life of me. Keep that for y'all. That's for y'all, was his exact quote about getting emotional, allowing, you know, the situation to be what it is in the moment. I get what he was doing. Bad choice. Bad choice. Your fans are your heartbeat, man. Your fans are your lifeblood. The reason this team, a big reason why this team can't give you the grace is because of decisions that you've made, Ra. That's what it comes down to. You chose to put a separation in there, the dividing wall between the fans and everybody else that is not locked in Flowery Branch. That was your conscious decision to do it, and you made voice to it. You put your own name on it. You put your stamp on it on Dukes and Bell. That's for y'all. No, it's not, Ra. Nobody believes that everything's fine. Again, it's the meme with the dog in the house that's burning down saying everything's fine. It's not, and we know that it's not, and you trying to pretend like it is doesn't do you any favors with the fans. It doesn't, trust me. And to Ken's point, I think that's going to come back to bite him in the end. I really do. How can Arthur Blank, if this team wins 5 games this year, come back to the State of the Union address and say, we're confident that Raheem Morris can turn this thing around? Who's going to believe him? Nobody. And Arthur Blank knows that. He doesn't have a billy in his pocket for no reason. He's a very, very smart man. And he can tell that this fan base is losing touch with its head coach right now. In part because he decided to put up a wall. If he came out to the media and said, listen, fan base, we understand you. We're bleeding. We're sweating. Just like you guys are right now through this season. We're going to do everything in our power to get it right for y'all. This is, you know, he did it one time. After the Carolina game, he came out and said, this was for y'all. But he didn't commiserate with us. He just said, we did it for you. Okay. All right. If that's the approach you want to take, bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it works out. Vince is up next. Vince.
Turtle, how you doing, man?
What's up, Vince?
Oh, man. Listen, I agree with you on Raheem Morris because I think he really is in over his head. If you look at some of the decisions he made going back to last year, especially when you think about clock mismanagement, you think about personnel mismanagement with Young Wei Koo, you think about the injury situation with Kirk Cousins and continuing to play him, and then hiring the coordinators that he did, bringing them in, knowing that these guys, he had a team that was probably ready to win now, but they needed coach NFL coaching experience to get them over the hump. That's the only thing I got to say about Raheem Morris. About Michael Penix, I know everybody talks about his poise in the pocket, but if you remember going back to training camp, he got into a skirmish with the Tennessee Titan players. And after that, on Dukes and Bell, I think they were broadcast, and they start talking about how all of his passes start sailing after that because he was rattled. And I think that's probably what's going on in the games, them not getting the plays in, he gets rattled. And once he gets rattled and get up under pressure, he starts sailing those throws. I'll hang up and listen and get your take on that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call. But you know how you fix that, Oren? Coaching. Coaching, 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 coaching. Coaching. Coaching, man. Okay, Michael, when this happens, this is what we do. Okay, Michael, when you see this look, this is how you react. Okay, Michael, when you're facing this pressure, this is what you do. Okay, Michael, when a guy's crashing down on you and you don't want to run, this is what you do. Coaching, coaching, coaching. It's all coaching. Michael Penix Jr., Vince, is not a complete quarterback. He's young. He's emotional. He clearly wants to win. He clearly cares. So you got to harness that. You got to turn that in. Right now, that's a weakness because you can't help him. If you were able to help him, you'd be able to turn that from a weakness into a strength. Oren, do you remember watching Tom Brady, how emotional he was on the field? That dude was screaming and yelling like he was a war general out there.
When it was the intro, they would always use Nas's Hate Me Now, and that was the let's effing go. He come out to that with the huge fist bump.
Patrick Mahomes, you ever see him on game day? There's a way to use that as a weapon, but right now it's being used as a curse against Michael Penix Jr. because his coaches can't freaking harness it. And that's the problem. The coaches can't harness it. Can't. Right now. Jordan, you're up next. Jordan, go ahead.
What's up, Turtle Man?
Yo.
I'm here to pile on to what the last few callers have been saying. Raheem Morris is our problem. No, we do not need to change coordinators. We need an entirely different head coach. I was never on board with this hire in the first place. In order to be a head coach, typically you have to have expertise on one side of the ball or the other. But if you look at Raheem Morris's coaching record, he's only had one top 10 scoring defense that he's been the coordinator or head coach for. That was way back in 2010 with Tampa. And he hasn't had any defenses finish top 15 in total defense. Yes, he won a Super Bowl with the Rams, but they were 17th in total defense and 15th in scoring defense, despite having Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, and a young Leonard Floyd. That same unit without Von Miller the previous season under Brandon Staley, who got a head coaching job, was ranked number one in both categories. It's time to move on from this guy. Now, what we need to do is to get an offensive head coach in here that's a play caller so our young quarterback can establish the same type of continuity that Patrick Mahomes has with Andy Reid if it works out. Get me a Joe Brady. Get me a Clint Kubiak, somebody. So Michael Penix doesn't have to keep changing coordinators if he is successful, like Matt Ryan went through when his offensive coordinator would get a head coaching job once every 2 or 3 years. Thank you for taking my call, Turtle.
No, I appreciate it, Jordan. And again, the way that this season finishes out is going to be what determines all of those dominoes that you just listed. It all depends on how these last couple of games look. It's not a couple. It's a lot. It's 8-404-726-0929. David's up next. David.
Hey, good evening, Chris. How are you? You know, I'm a season ticket member, since 2011. Paid my PSLs. And, you know, I've always been a bit of an optimist. And I tell you what, the Dolphins game was really the lowest of lows. I don't have any of the answers, but I do appreciate the fight in the last two games, especially from our defense. Where do we go from here? What do you think in the near term this team looks like? I'll be there Sunday. But,
God bless you.
You know, I don't have my most optimistic
They whooped you 30-0 the first time, and you're playing worse than you were then, so I don't blame you. Right now, excuse me, and I said this earlier in the week, there is one mission statement, one, and that is get Penix right. So that is the only thing that I want to see for the rest of this season. Get him back to where he was the first couple of games of the season. That's the only and most important goal. If you can accomplish that, whatever. Because, I'm already looking at it as, guys, 3-6. Playoffs are just so slim. It's an infinitesimal percentage that they're going to make the playoffs this year. So if we have to pivot, David, the thing we pivot to and the thing you look for is getting Michael Penix Jr. back on track, which is exactly what we've been talking about all night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wally's up first when we get back. I got our guy Kev in the limo. If you're on hold, stay there. More of your calls coming up. I'm with you till 8:30. We're talking Falcons. We're doing it together. We're getting through all these crazy comments from Flowery Branch, the OC and the HC and the QB not doing themselves any favors. We'll continue to break it all down with you next on 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight. 30 minutes of the program here. Chris Thomas, Turtle with you until Hawks pregame comes your way. They're in Utah to take on the Jazz and try to make it 4 in a row. The number 4 relevant tonight as Shohei Ohtani captures his 4th MVP and Aaron Judge just won his 3rd. He beats Cal Raleigh in what was a really tight race. So a really, really fun baseball season comes to an end. And those two guys, obviously, very, very deserving in their own right, doing just some special, special things throughout their career. It's going to be crazy to look back when they hang it up and see, man, we were watching these guys do this at the exact same time for basically their entire career. Ever since Judge came up, ever since Ohtani came to the majors, they've been nothing but outstanding. And now seven MVP wins between the two of them. But we're talking Falcons tonight. 404-726-0929. Wally, thanks for holding. Wally, you're in the game.
How are you doing tonight?
What's up, Wally?
Doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm very interested in leadership. And I don't know if you know of a principle from the 70s called the Peter Principle. But it says
I do not.
That in hierarchy, individuals are promoted to their highest level of incompetence. And so in something that's very hierarchical like coaching, what you have is people who are successful at one level automatically get raised up to the next level. And then if they keep on playing the game, this is Raheem. He was a good position coach. He got different kinds of coordinator positions. He finally got his chance as a head coach at Tampa. He blew it. He started the process again. He had some success. Now he's been promoted to head coach. He doesn't have head coaching skills. He doesn't motivate other coaches. He doesn't pick strong staff people. He doesn't coordinate. He doesn't make hard decisions. He's not creative. Doesn't mean he's bad at the other levels. He's just not cut up to be in charge. That's my feeling about his coaching.
No, Wally, I appreciate it, man. And it's an interesting theory, but I think the proof is in the pudding. Honestly, it's just what it comes down to. Like, you can give me all these theories and strategies and all this stuff, but Oren, you know what's funny? Like, he laid out that long soliloquy there. It comes down to wins and losses. Like, you can slither your way through the ranks and rise up and get to your, whatever he called it, your untapped potential and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you're a head coach if you can win. You're a coordinator if you can't. And that's really what it comes down to, Wally. Like, Raheem Morris, I don't know if you know this or not, Wall, is 20 games under 500 as a head coach right now. Again, proof is in the pudding. I can take all the theories and we can do all of that, but at the end of the day, you just got to win. And he is not winning, and he is not leading his franchise and his staff to the promised land. And that includes fixing a broken quarterback, to tie it all back to Michael Penix Jr. and Zach Robinson and the three of them being under the fire right now. Our guy Kevin, the limo driver, is up next. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
So, I mean, pretty much you guys have said it all. I mean, you know, the guy before you, I mean, he pretty much summed it up. You know, he's been great on the other levels, but not great as a head coach level. And the crazy part about it is when you go in an interview with Arthur Blank and you get Kirk Cousins and you say, yes, we can win now. And you bring in people that aren't proven entities, like a la Jimmy Lake, a la Zach Robinson. A perfect example is, and the cap and the catch lightning in the bottle in Washington was Dan Quinn. He knows he's not an offensive coordinator. So what does he do? He goes out and he gets Cliff Kingsbury, someone perfectly suited to his quarterback, not trying to make a round peg fit in a square hole. And we're trying to get people, at least two separate quarterbacks that cannot run Zach Robinson's so-called offense. And I will call it so-called. And, you know, there's a problem there. There's the disconnect with the sense of urgency. You say, yeah, that you want to win now, but your actions did not say you want to win now. Your action says, you know what, I'm going to hire my buddy and we're just going to see if it's going to work out. Unfortunately, the NFL, Jerry Granville, old Falcons coach, used to say something I love. He used to say, the NFL stands for not for long if you don't make good decisions. So right now, not for long for Raheem's job, and that's my take. I'll listen.
Yeah, appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for checking in from the limo. Yeah. Yep. Yes, sir. You're right. Not for long. If Raheem Morris, if this Falcons team wins five or six games this year, not for long. If this team continues to collapse down the stretch, Not for long. If this team continues to have a quarterback problem in a year in which he was supposed to take a huge leap forward, not for long. You're right, Kevin. The script will write itself. The script will write itself. That's what it comes down to. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons ownership, if I'm Arthur Blank and everybody else, how can I come back with the same guys next year and talk to my fan base? How can I do it? I don't see a path. I just don't see it. I know there's been a couple callers tonight that have said, you know, maybe Raheem should get one more year with a different OC. How? How can you bring Raheem back if this team wins 4 or 5 or 6 games this year? Again, let's see how it plays out. It's all about how the season ends. There could be a lot of work done in both the positive and the negative ledger, depending on how these last games go. Brandon's up next. Brandon.
What's going on, Maine? Appreciate the time, brother. I wanted to touch on 2 points. Sorry, I want to touch on the Hawks and then that kind of viral moment with Michael Penix. I kind of want to push back a little against with what you're saying. I think he was specifically asked on game day on the field, who do you lean on? Who are you looking towards? And then this dude brings up his fiance and his freaking high school coach, coach or quarterback coach. Like, dude, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire, brother. I really do think there's something behind that. I mean, obviously there's coaching issues, and for him to be asked specifically on a game day on the field, and if it was happening, and if he was getting coached up during the game, I would assume he'd be like, oh yeah, you know, oh, you know, he's always whatever, you know. So
wait, Brandon, hang tight, and I'll let you ask your Hawks question. You just said the key word. You know what it was?
Negative.
No, assume.
Assume.
You're assuming right now. But you can't, and I can't, especially as a talk show host, make declarative statements about an assumption. You can't do that.
Well, hear me out on that. Hear me out. But he was asked a very specific question at a very specific time. It wasn't like, hey, who do you lean on in general? They asked him on game day, on the field, very specific time and date. And he comes up with his fiance. Like, that's crazy. I mean, maybe I'm thinking too much into it. I just think there's a lot of smoke when it comes to this whole coaching situation. So I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And also, a serious question, I don't know if you could answer, it's not like, do coaches, like NFL coaches in the NFL, do they actually coach? Like, Or are they just game managers? I really don't know.
Certain coaches, like for instance, in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur is in charge of the offense, and he's also the head coach. Kyle Shanahan is in charge of the offense. He's also the head coach. So it just depends. It just depends. Yeah, Dan Campbell in Detroit took over play calling. So he's now the head coach, and he also calls the play. So it just depends on the team. Raheem does not.
Yeah, and that was the other thing, too. You kept referencing, like, you were saying, like, is Patrick Mahomes always with his quarterback? I mean, with his coach? Is the Bills always with his coach? Is Lamar Jackson? You don't see them hanging out with their coach. But those are well-established winning football teams. Like, we are not that. I feel like, dude, if you miss something, like, bro, let's huddle right now. Let's figure this shit out. I'm sorry. Let's figure this stuff out right now.
No, I hear you. Unfortunately, we can't have that on the air, but – I know what you're saying, Brandon, but at the same time, again, we can't make assumptions about stuff that we don't know for sure. That would be a poor job by me to sit there and assume that I know what Michael Penix Jr. meant. I can't decipher what he was thinking inside of his own head when he made that statement. Is there a chance what you're saying is right? Absolutely. But unless he comes out and clarifies, I can't do it. I can't just sit there and say that I know definitively that he was throwing shade at his coaches. That is an unfair assumption to make. I can't do it. Greg is up next. Greg.
Yeah, I'm calling. I just want to talk on the Falcons. That's it. But, yeah, Ra's job, I mean, it seems like everybody else is saying the same thing I'm thinking. It's definitely – the seat is definitely hot with him. The two bad losses with Carolina and Miami, absolutely unacceptable. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the GM since 2020. I believe Terry Fontenot. I don't hear anybody talking about that. I think when you look at the roster, like from the starters, it looks good. Like it looks like a team. Like I've seen teams win with less. That goes back to Raw. But after the starters, it feels like we have no depth anywhere. And I can't think of, besides Tyler Allgeier, I can't think of a pick pass round two that was like really worth anything. And I think when you look at the great teams, you know, they find those success stories in round four, round five with like, you know, a linebacker here, a safety here, or like an offensive lineman here. It just feels like we're very top heavy. And that is constantly leading us to losing records every year. So,
no, Greg.
I'll hang up.
Appreciate it, man. Terry Fontenot is certainly under the hot seat right now. There is no way to deny that. His drafts, to your point, have been very uneven. First round, generally successful, minus Pitts. But as you said, after that, very, very thin. And that clearly is showing its face right now with the defensive line and the linebacking room that are in desperate need of more depth. I think, again, what, Oren, how many GMs in the league get 6 years without playoffs? None. One. Chris Greer, he was just fired. That's it. So 404-726-0929. When we get back, we'll finish up with your calls, and we'll also make our picks. Oren gained another game on me this week. I'm not happy about it, but we'll talk about it next.